You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up after 7 on Ken Rudin's Political Junkie, national security blunders then and now. Ken looks at Michael Flynn's resignation as the short-lived national security advisor, and then he revisits 2003 when Secretary of State Colin Powell addressed the UN Security Council on the now discredited notion of Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction. That's after 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, President Trump's statements at a news conference yesterday have been getting a lot of attention. The conference is notable not just because of the president's answers to political questions, but because of his interactions with the press.
One of the unusual parts of the news conference was when Trump was asked by Jake Turks, an Orthodox Jewish reporter, about anti-Semitism in the U.S. Turks prefaced his question saying that he did not believe that Trump and his staff were anti-Semitic. His question was about what the government would do about the surge of threats on Jewish centers. Take a listen.
What we are concerned about, and what we haven't really heard being addressed, is an uptick in anti-Semitism and how the government is planning to take care of it. There's been a report out that 48 bomb threats have been made against Jewish centers all across the country in the last couple of weeks. There are people who are committing anti-Semitic acts or threatening to...
You see, he said he was going to ask a very simple, easy question. And it's not. It's not. Not a simple question. Not a fair question. Okay, sit down. I understand the rest of your question. So here's the story, folks. Number one, I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life. Number two, racism, the least racist person. In fact, we did very well relative to other people running as a Republican. Quiet, quiet, quiet. See, he lied about he was going to get up and ask a very straight, simple question. So, you know, it's welcome to the world of the media.
President Trump went on to say that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had vouched for him as someone who is not an anti-Semite. He did not talk about the surge of threats against Jewish centers in the United States.
There were plenty of other strongly worded remarks directed at the press. Lucas Graves joins us now. He's an assistant professor at UW-Madison's School of Journalism and Mass Communication. He's also author of the book Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism. Lucas, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. That's great to be here.
This news conference started with President Trump announcing his nominee for Secretary of the Department of Labor, Alexander Acosta. But that was a fleeting moment. His thoughts quickly spiraled off in other directions. What struck you about both the tone and the content?
I mean, I think there's no avoiding the conclusion that, you know, Donald Trump speaks in a way that we're not used to hearing presidents speak. He was an unusual campaigner, and his unusual speaking style and his way of relating to the press, you know, has continued since he stepped into the Oval Office. So I think a few features that sort of jump out are that he's unusually combative. I mean, of course, presidents have a long history of having difficult relationships with the press, but Donald Trump, you know, makes attacking the media, even during a press conference, an almost routine feature of his comments, and he, you know, slings some pretty nasty insults at them. And I think it's fair to say that he's also unusually defensive. So he'll respond to perceived criticisms or to attacks in a way that presidents typically haven't. And I think it's a fascinating moment because you can sort of see, you know, in the reactions to this press conference, you can sort of see journalists and the rest of sort of establishment Washington trying to figure out what this means and, you know, whether this is sort of a new normal or whether, you know, it's a sign that the wheels are sort of rapidly coming off. I mean, nobody can quite figure out how to process Donald Trump's very different presidential style.
NBC reporter Peter Alexander challenged the president for misrepresenting the size of the electoral win. President Trump said he had the, quote, biggest electoral college win since Ronald Reagan. Let's take a listen.
You said today that you had the biggest electoral margin since Ronald Reagan with 304 or 306 electoral votes. In fact, President Obama got 365.
Well, I'm talking about Republican.
President Obama, 332, and George H.W. Bush, 426 when he won as president. So why should Americans trust?
Well, no, I was told, I was given that information. I don't know. I was just given. We had a very, very big margin.
I guess my question is, why should Americans trust you when you accuse the information they receive of being fake when you're providing information that's...
Well, I don't know. I was given that information. I've seen that information around. But it was a very substantial victory. Do you agree with that?
You're the president.
What do you make of this exchange and what it says about fact-checking?
That was a really extraordinary moment, I thought. I mean, it speaks on the one hand to the fact that Donald Trump has really helped to institutionalize fact-checking as a now permanent feature of the sort of journalistic landscape. I mean, it has been in the past mainly practiced during campaigns, but, you know, in the wake of this press conference, you saw, you know, almost every major news outlet offer some kind of fact check. And in that clip, we heard a reporter directly challenging the president's facts. I mean, he has this very well-established reputation for mistakes and exaggerations and for being, you know, pretty loose with the truth. At the same time, though, it also highlights what I think is the real concern that I have and that I think a lot of observers have about what might be changing in political discourse right now. And that's, you know, the way that Donald Trump is really has sort of a disregard for the facts. Like, it's not so much that he, makes more checkable statements than other politicians, but also that he just doesn't seem that concerned about the idea that, you know, some statements are truer than others, or that you should offer evidence for your assertions. And you saw that in the way that he casually, you know, said, well, somebody gave me that information. And that's a real challenge to sort of the established ways of talking at that level of politics. And I think it's sort of a worrying trend.
We're talking with Lucas Graves. He's an assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Talking about yesterday's news conference, President Trump spent 77 minutes addressing the press corps. Russia came up again and again, and the National Security Advisor was dismissed this week, which raised even more questions about the Trump administration's ties with Russia. President Trump said, Russia is a ruse. I have nothing to do with Russia. And he ultimately said that he wasn't aware of anyone on his campaign having contact with Russian officials. Fact checkers jumped all over this. What do you make of how he went, how he spoke about Russia and the response by journalists?
I mean, I think one of the reasons that we saw such an aggressive response to that is that what's come out is that the White House knew long before dismissing the National Security Advisor, they knew that he, at the very least, that he had misrepresented both the fact and the nature of his conversations to the vice president and, you know, perhaps to others in the White House. And so their willingness, you know, the fact that he wasn't dismissed until this became a big story. And so apparently the White House wasn't very concerned about it initially, I think has a lot of reporters wondering. And there's also the very sort of perplexing statement Trump offered, which was that, the leaks are real, but the news is fake. And that sort of, you know, that didn't make sense to a lot of journalists because they think, well, if the leaks are real, then there's a real story here and the news isn't fake. But Donald Trump has been really, really, really consistent in dismissing stories that he doesn't like as fake news. It shows how quickly that term has been sort of turned on its head. And it's now used, you know, to discredit the idea that we can trust any mainstream journalism at all. And I think that, you know, that advances the cause of politicians who don't want to be held accountable for the things that they say.
And the first question went to Mara Liasson, NPR's White House correspondent. She asked a 5-word question, did you fire Mike Flynn? And it got me thinking about how the press corps is querying this president. I've often heard journalists asking these long-winded questions, multifaceted questions, 2 or 3 packed into the same sentence. But here she was asking 5 words. How have journalists changed their approach in how they question Mr. Trump?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, you know, we've already heard some rumors. They're, you know, unverified, I think, at this point, but some rumors that intelligence officials are changing the ways that they present, you know, briefings and intelligence data to suit the president's preferred sort of, you know, information processing style. And it may very well be that journalists are changing the ways that they present, that they make questions to respond to his, you know, to adapt to his unusual approach. It certainly wouldn't be surprising. We've seen, you know, a long history of changes in the ways that press conferences were conducted. They were, you know, initially off the record. So FDR's press conferences were off the record, for instance. You know, television was introduced under under Eisenhower, but press conferences weren't live until the Kennedy administration. That really changed the dynamics and made them, you know, sort of an opportunity to perform for the audience, you know, for both the press and the president, rather than just to get information from the president. But the most dramatic change that we've seen, and there's a lot of research about this, is that since the 50s and especially after 1968, journalists have become much more aggressive and much more sort of inquisitorial in the ways that they present their questions. And that's because, you know, aggressive watchdog journalism, investigative journalism became much more valued in the wake of Vietnam and Watergate. So it could be that we're again, you know, we're seeing journalists sort of change their approach to adapt to this new leadership.
We're talking to Lucas Graves, assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication, about President Trump's heated exchange with journalists at yesterday's news conference.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of that news conference yesterday? Do you think that the president or members of the press were out of line on either side for their part? What do you make of the relationship between the Washington reporters and the president? What do you want to see from the media as they cover the president and ask him questions in these conferences? Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue this conversation here on Central Time after this short break.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're continuing the conversation with Lucas Graves, assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication.
We're talking about yesterday's presidential press conference, 77 minutes, a very different style, a lot of back and forth between the president and the press. You could share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Did you watch? What did you think? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Talk show host Rush Limbaugh had a different perspective on this press conference. He called it masterful for being unscripted and therefore closer to the truth. Is that how some of President Trump's supporters and people who are tired of certain conventions in Washington are going to see these press conferences?
I think that's likely. And the fact that our media environment is more it was more fractured today and more sort of polarized and politicized today than it was 20 years ago, I think helps to explain Trump's strategy in this press conference, which was very clearly and very explicitly directed at, you know, aimed at the public and aimed at his base. He almost said as much, you know, in his opening remarks.
And was Mr. Trump's behavior staying true to his anti-establishment message?
Well, I think that's hard to say. That's in the eye of the beholder. I think certainly he's very clearly painting a narrative in which he, you know, continuing the narrative in which he came to Washington to shake things up. In his opening remarks, he, you know, took dead aim at the press in a really unusually aggressive way and accused them of misreporting, you know, all of the sort of successes that his White House had achieved. And so clearly there's a perception that, you know, it's still advantageous to the White House to argue that they're there fighting against the, you know, this establishment press.
Let's take a call now with Damien from Green Bay. Hi, Damien.
Yes, hello.
What would you like to add about the press conference?
Well, I think the reporter from CNN needs to be commended for calling President Trump on his blatant lie concerning Electoral College votes. And going forward into the Trump presidency, I think this is exactly what the news media needs to do and hold his feet to the fire immediately when he delivers just complete fallacies to the public.
Lucas?
You know, I couldn't agree more. I mean, one of the most exciting developments, I think, in journalism in the last decade or so is that reporters are increasingly willing to hold politicians accountable for false statements on both sides of the aisle. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that that's not going to do much. It's probably not going to do much for the press's popularity, which, you know, is sort of at abysmal lows. And there's a lot of evidence that more aggressive reporting, more fact-checking actually alienates a lot of the public and will make people think that journalists are biased.
Well, Damian, thanks so much for your call. Let's now go to Paul in Oshkosh. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Something that's interesting to me is that it seems like over the last 15 to 20 years that the citizens like myself, Americans, become less and less trusting of the media. It seems the media has been more and more biased and not transparent in reporting. And, you know, now that's just opened the door for someone like Donald Trump to come in here and pull the shenanigans he's pulling and getting away with it.
Lucas?
I think that's really true. I mean, one of the great ironies of the last 30 years is that reporting has gotten better and better, but people's perceptions of the media have gotten worse and worse.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Lucas.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
That was Lucas Graves. He's an assistant professor at UW-Madison's School of Journalism and Mass Communication. He's also author of the book Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism. He joined us to talk about reactions to President Trump's press conference yesterday.